Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb,
dumb, dumb, dumb, dumb, dumb, dumb, dumb, straight between the rails. We're going straight the rails.
Welcome to the Worst Year Ever, a podcast about, you know, 2020 and such. I'm Robert Evans, and my co-hosts are Katie Stoll and Cody Johnston.
That's right.
And today we're going to talk about what's been happening in the city of Portland for the last 40 days, because the city's been through now more than 40 straight days of protesting, and about like half of those days have wound up being riots. And in fact, this specific episode is coming after a series of five nights in which three riots were declared. So it's been a real one in Portland.
Wow. You know, it's interesting. 40 days. That is so many days. And you do not see it getting covered in the mainstream media. I know it's happening from you, but I've said this before, but even people that I know that live in Portland aren't aware of the extent to what's happening downtown. You know, everyone's sheltering in place. Just the media coverage of it is abysmal.
Yeah, it hasn't, you know, there's a lot of great journalists out there in the streets, but most of them aren't working for huge outlets, you know,
right,
which is part of one of the things we're going to discuss a little bit later today. The specific thing that just happened on the 4th of July that I think needs to be covered is, you know, it was essentially, we essentially saw a medieval siege in the streets of an American city, waged between like federal agents firing through murder slits in a fortified federal courthouse and being shot back at by protesters armed with hundreds of illegal fireworks. It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen, like federal agents dropping tear gas out of slits in the walls of a courthouse as like people with shields, you know, clustered to stop the impact rounds being fired into the crowds so that folks could shoot fireworks back into the courthouse. It was nuts. Like I've never seen anything like it. I guess I would say the closest thing I've seen to what we saw on July 4th was actual warfare. It was about as close as you can get to actual warfare without people shooting live rounds at each other. And things have escalated in some ways since then. And what's happening in Portland is interesting for a number of reasons. Fundamentally, and this is something that's been brought up to me by two of my stringers, you know, who have been working with me in the streets of Portland. They go under Twitter at 45th Absurdist Brigade. But one of them, Elaine, pointed out to me that, like, we're essentially seeing what happens when a huge chunk of a city loses its fear of its police force, because that's something that has really been evident after so many nights of getting tear gassed and shot at and hit with sticks and arrested. The people who continue to show up at these protests aren't scared of cops anymore. And so the police and law enforcement has had to escalate. And what's happened in the wake of July 4th is they've been sending out federal agents who are, and essentially you're saying like federal agents who are indistinguishable from soldiers, not wearing like police riot armor, but wearing full combat armor, carrying M4 rifles, you know, charging out to grab and arrest people for stuff like knocking on the door of the courthouse. Because they don't have any rules of engagement. You know, the police have limitations on what they can do. The federal agents don't. And so as the people of Portland have lost their fear of the police and the police have become less and less able to disperse the crowds arrayed against them, the feds are coming in more and more to fuck people up. And doing so using tactics that are straight up military tactics that aren't like militarized. You're not talking about like a lot of people, you know, you're not just saying like, oh, the police have grenade launchers, so they're militarized. It's like, no. The federal troops are essentially using military tactics to try to break up these gatherings.
Like what?
So one of the things that you see with police are supposed to announce something called an unlawful assembly or a riot or something. They are supposed to make announcements to the crowd, giving them a chance to disperse before the use of munitions, before they start arresting people. This is like there's a rhythm to a protest, even a very aggressive one, even a riot, that is predictable because the police have legal strictures on how they're supposed to act that go in certain ways. And this doesn't mean the police don't use excessive force, but it means there's certain things that they do because they're police. The federal agents have just been sort of charging out of the courthouse without warning, grabbing people off the street. Like the police were doing things like firing, you know, tear gas and whatnot to clear out people who had been, you know, sometimes shooting off fireworks and stuff. One of the things that caused a federal sally two nights ago was a guy walked up and he knocked on the door of the courthouse, and that's all he did. And they charged out into the street. They cleared people up for blocks away. They were tackling people to the ground. And they tackled this guy, grabbed him and dragged him back into the courthouse. And my employee on the ground, Elaine, who has seen a lot of street action over the last couple of weeks and has no fear of tear gas or even impact rounds or nightsticks from the police, was terrified because, like, it was this, there was no ability to predict what they were going to do, which is kind of like when you're prosecuting a war, like one of the things they have to train soldiers to do in our military that makes them effective in a combat situation is the ability to engage in and display like relentless aggression. Because the goal is always to ensure the enemy never has any chance to get on a stable footing. Mm-hmm. It's constant disruption. So the unpredictability, the inability for them to formulate an effective strategy, like that's how you deal with an enemy in a combat situation. That kind of aggression and that sort of meter of aggression. Which is not how police are supposed to engage, and not how police engage with the crowd. For all of the critiques of the Portland Police Bureau, their behavior, even when it was illegal, and we'll talk about that a bit, because they did break the law on a number of occasions, it was predictable. You could start to understand, okay, this is going to happen, the police will react in this way or one of these ways. There was no kind of predicting, like the federal troops were rushing out of the courthouse to arrest and grab and tackle people, sometimes when no discernible action had been taken by the crowd, because right. There's no restrictions on their behavior. And so you're seeing in the streets of Portland is it started with militarized police meeting a crowd that was willing to kind of meet them with insurgent tactics, with military tactics, and not with the kind of military tactics I think the crowd was the police were expecting, but with a lot of stuff that looked would have been more at place, you know, in a medieval conflict, like phalanxes and stuff like that. So even going further back than that, but you saw the crowd adopting these sort of organized military tactics in order to deal with a police force that was utilizing variations of those same tactics. And what you've seen now is federal troops who have come in and essentially, you know, I use the word troops, but we're talking about U.S. Marshals, we're talking about Department of Homeland Security officers. But we're talking about people who are visually indistinguishable from soldiers and carrying the same weaponry as soldiers. So they're not packing just the non-lethals. They're packing M4 assault rifles and shit now. You're seeing them bring in, because, you know, police tactics are militarized, but in a lot of cases, you know, you're still looking at kind of like more ancient military tactics. Because at the end of the day, when you have police in a riot line confronting each other, you have two groups of people armed with melee weapons, primarily, like coming into conflict with each other, a lot of them carrying shields and sticks and stuff. So it's militarized, but it has more in terms of like what you actually see on the ground. It has more in common with, you know, what people would have experienced fighting, you know, a few centuries ago than it does with modern military tactics. And now that has gone to the point where the police can't disperse these crowds effectively, federal agents are using very modern military tactics, the kind of stuff, like the kind of literal physical tactics that you would more expect to see in an active war zone than what police are supposed to be doing. It's gotten very strange.
Sounds like an appropriate way to be spending the 4th of July weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Citizens protesting and, you know, feeling like it was the way people fought hundreds of years ago. The videos that you sent us were very intense.
Yeah. We'll play a little clip from that right here when there was, this was the moment at which there was essentially just a straight up siege of this. So for an idea of what downtown Portland is like, you have the Justice Center, which is the police headquarters and the jail, and it's next to a federal courthouse. And so the Justice Center is guarded by normal cops. The federal courthouse is guarded by DHS agents, Homeland Security, and essentially military dudes. You know, that's how they look and operate. And you had this crowd of 1,000 or so people gather around both. It was kind of drunk. A lot of people were kind of drunk. It was the 4th, and they had a ton of fireworks and a ton of really illegal fireworks. But it's easy to get them because there's nothing that's illegal in Washington. So people just drive up to Washington, buy a bunch of illegal fireworks, come down to Portland. And this was happening all over
the city.
Look,
it seems like all over the country people have easy access to illegal fireworks.
Yeah.
That's another segment.
So in Portland, they just started firing hundreds of illegal fireworks directly at the courthouse and the Justice Center. And it was really, there were some great moments where, like, you could see people who were in the jail, like, cheering and waving and, like, sticking their fists in the air, because they were getting, like, the fireworks were exploding at their windows. So they got a show, and they seemed to be enjoying it. But people also, you know, it was a pretty chill, despite the reckless use
of
fireworks.
Except for the fireworks.
It was pretty chill. The crowd was, and there wasn't a lot of people pushing towards the actual buildings themselves, just kind of shooting at their facades. And these are gigantic concrete buildings. There was no danger of the fireworks doing any damage to them. Then the police brought out their sound system and started telling people not to shoot at the federal courthouse, which guaranteed that that's all people were going to want to do for the rest of the night.
And they knew that.
Yeah, and the crowd then clustered. They gassed everyone once, and so the crowd began clustering just around the federal courthouse and firing into, like, the plywood they'd put up over the windows and trying to shoot in through the murder slits that the agents had cut so that they could shoot out at the crowd. That, you know, kind of culminated in what looked very much like a fucking medieval siege, just with fireworks and fucking paintball, pepperball rounds and rubber bullets and shit. It was very strange. I want to play you a little clip from that.
Yeah, you can see here one of the murder slits. It's an old, like, medieval term, I think. So that's where they're shooting out from it, people. So we definitely have, like, an old-fashioned medieval siege here. With this sort of crowd getting their shields and fire lances to the front. You see a crowd getting their shields to the front. You see the defenders firing out of murder holes. You see fireworks being shot into the thing. This is the... Oh, Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, like, that's... I don't even know, like, what to say about it to a certain extent because it's so... surreal to see this. After this, the police dispersed the crowd from the Justice Center area, and the crowd spent hours kind of in a running battle with the cops. And there was a lot of, like, it got pretty intensely violent. Like, it was weird because this was the best the mood has been from the crowd. Like, everyone's morale was really high because people were, I think, really excited about how well they were doing at staying together and reforming and not getting dispersed by the police. But the police were unbelievably angry and were beating the shit out of people. Like, when they would get close, they were hitting them with truncheons. I watched at one point, they grabbed a man and dragged him on his back across the asphalt into a cloud of tear gas to arrest him.
Jesus Christ.
They fucking stabbed the tires out of a van that was handing out snacks. And they didn't arrest
That'll
the guy driving
them.
It. They just stabbed his tires. Like, it was fucking wild.
The issue wasn't with the man. He is but a man. It's with the car.
It's with the van.
Fuck those
tires. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's with the BLM snack van. They fucking hated that van. And it was like they were doing shit like gassing the crowd and then firing rubber bullets and foam bullets into the smoke. So, like, they clearly can't see what they're shooting at. They're just shooting into the crowd with impact munitions, which you're supposed to be very carefully used. You're supposed to fire these at the ground to bounce them up into people. You're not supposed to shoot people directly with them. They were just shooting into the fucking
impact
smoke.
Impact munitions being... an example of, like, rubber bullets.
Rubber bullets, foam bullets, pepper balls. These are all impact munitions. Yeah.
So it does real damage.
So it was pretty intense to experience. And it was just like, you know, we've had dozens of nights of a not dissimilar tempo. Usually less fireworks, some fireworks, but less fireworks. But this keeps happening every single week. You know, the first 2 weeks after George Floyd's murder, this happened. Something like this happened pretty much every night. And then since then, it's at least been every 3 or 4 days. There's been a night like this. Sometimes with fewer people, like that intensity.
The fact that you still are pulling crowds of 1,000 people is wild and incredible, you know? To keep people showing up every night or most nights like this.
Yeah, and there's, you know, the nights afterwards, it was more like 100, 150 people that showed up, but it's still this, like, you know, it's keeping this, like, heartbeat alive, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot, there's some criticisms folks, including me, will make about, like, the decision to continually rally at the Justice Center, because tactically, mm-hmm. it is a terrible place to get into a fight with the police. They can surround you very easily. They can tear gas the shit out of you very easily. It's not a great defensible position. And the fact that the feds are next door creates additional issues, because now people are getting federal charges. The folks who are being arrested by the feds, you know, when the cops arrest you, your charges are generally going to go up that night. Usually you'll be out the next day. A lot of folks just get released with a citation. The feds have been keeping people in jail for 2-3 days before anyone even finds out their charges. And then those charges are, again, federal charges. So people are getting, you know, the chances are that they will get much more higher prison sentences when this finally comes out. And the feds are also keeping their shit, keeping their phones, keeping their house keys, mm-hmm. keeping their wallets as evidence. It's kind of a bad tactical decision to involve. And you had on July 4th, you had people with bullhorns being like, when we get back, because the crowd eventually marched back to the Justice Center after like 3 hours of fighting and reforming in the streets, made its way back and reoccupied the Justice Center, which has never happened before. But there were people like begging folks in the crowd, don't fuck with the courthouse again. Like, we probably shouldn't try to start a fight with both the feds and the local police at the same time. Like, this might not be the best tactic.
I mean, that seems well-reasoned.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens next, but it's been fucking surreal, and it's I don't think we've seen the biggest rallies we're going to see in Portland this year, and I don't think we've seen the most police or law enforcement violence we're going to see this year.
No, I don't think we have either. We're in such a weird lull. I don't know. It feels like things still feel tense, that there's stuff crackling beneath the surface. It does not seem like police seem cowed by people or by the potential of, you know, that we have as a collectively to uprise and to protest, because we're continuing to see police violence everywhere. So I agree with you. I don't think it's the end of it. We have to take a quick ad break.
Oh, yeah.
That's the end of that section.
You know what won't fire impact munitions blindly into a smoke-filled crowd?
Wow.
Don't say Raytheon.
Yeah, Raytheon. Well, no, Raytheon's new knife missile, Cody, is the opposite of firing blindly into a crowd. It's firing a knife missile at exactly mm-hmm. the place
with
that you
precision.
Know it is.
That's
with
true. Precision. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have missed those murder holes.
No, they wouldn't have.
Welcome to the worst year ever. Together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Hey, cool, we're back. Back.
Oh, jeez. What?
From the ad.
Yeah, we sure
Time
are.
Get mad.
I really like that, Katie. Good job.
Mad.
I'm livid. Yeah, so I wanted to play you, y'all, because.
I like how you said you and then corrected yourself to y'all.
Thank you.
It's inclusive.
So like when this shit started in Portland, there was like a lot of local coverage about what was happening, and there, you know, was even some there wasn't a huge amount of national coverage just because what was going on in Minneapolis was so much crazier. But as Portland has wound up having like kind of one of the longer running protest movements in the wake of all this, like we've gotten local media has had to pull back a bit just because their budgets can't cope with it. And, you know, they've done varying levels of quality jobs in terms of actually handling the story. Some of them have sucked. Some of them have been incredible. When we've gotten national coverage, it's tended to look more like this. And I want to actually go through this whole Fox News segment. So this is like a...
Oh, good.
Yeah, Mark
That'll
Morgan.
Help my migraine, Robert.
Yeah, this is Fox and Friends, and it's Fox and Friends interviewing the Customs and Border Patrol Commissioner, Mark Morgan, about the 4th of July riot in Portland. And I find it infuriating and inaccurate, but I also find it interesting. So we're going to go through it and take some time to pause bit by bit and talk about what he's saying and what the truth is.
Ooh, this is a fun new segment.
Yeah, this will be interesting.
Thanks, Jed.
Here we go. Right.
Violence rocking Portland overnight. Police declaring a riot yet again as the city sees its 38th straight day of unrest. Border Patrol now called in to assist. Here with an update is Acting CBP Commissioner Mark Morgan. Good morning, Mr. Commissioner. The third time this week you've had to declare a riot in Portland. What's going on there?
And one thing I want to correct is that he didn't declare a riot. The police eventually did declare a riot. The feds, which is, you know, includes CBP and all of these other agencies we've been talking about, started dumping munitions before there was any kind of declaration of anything, because they don't have to declare. They can just shoot shit off.
Good to know.
Yeah, that is a point to be made.
Well, I'll tell you, Griffin, these are not protesters. These are criminals who got together and organized and planned and actually brought weapons. They brought shields. They brought frozen water bottles, rocks.
I can tell you, number one, it's very funny to me with the number of weapons used against the protesters that he's so angry. They brought shields.
Unreal. Water bottles,
I haven't
rocks.
Seen... any frozen water bottles, and I have seen right. so I have seen thousands also, of water bottles thrown at the cops. They all splatter open upon hitting because
yeah,
they're just
not
water
a
bottles.
Weapon. It's a party. Yeah. It's the 4th of July, people. Water yeah. fights also, are cultural canon.
They brought weapons.
I love the shield thing, but also mm-hmm. like these aren't protesters. These people organized.
Yeah, they had a plan. They didn't just
Pardon
march
me?
Around and go back home, not accomplishing anything.
Unreal.
It's great.
Lasers. Weapons with the intent to destroy a federal building
lasers.
And harm law enforcement
lasers.
Officers.
Lasers. Wait
Again,
a minute. Pause. Lasers?
Yeah.
What
yeah,
kind of lasers?
Tons of
like,
them.
Like yeah. laser pointers?
Yeah, like laser pointers. They shine
Those
them at the
cameras. Those are very threatening.
Yeah. And they're not the, I will tell you, there are laser pointers that will do permanent eye damage.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
These are not the ones being used. No police officers anywhere in the country have suffered any eye damage as a result of lasers being deployed. And all of lasers, until the police started shooting people, at which point folks shined lasers and face masks to try to blind the people shooting them temporarily.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, that's, I'd say so. The lasers were being used to blind cameras.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're not talking like those little laser pointers you buy for your cat.
No. They're heavier duty than that, but they're not the ones that'll like, you know, you get the really big ones that you can light cigarettes with, and if you shine them in someone's eyes, it will fuck them up forever. These are not those. People are not shooting those into faces. No police officers have had their vision damaged by the fucking lasers, which I would compare to maybe the flashbangs that they throw at people, even though they're not supposed to throw them at people, and shoot directly at people's bodies, which have exploded within inches of my body on a number of occasions and definitely have had an impact on my vision and hearing. Whatever. It's fine.
Robert
it's
has
fine.
A headache
I'm so
today,
sorry.
Guys.
They brought shields. Yeah. My fucking head's pounding.
God.
So that's all very funny. It's very funny that he says that they had the intent to destroy the federal building. The federal courthouse in downtown Portland is, again, it is a fortress. It is a massive concrete structure. None of the fireworks did any kind of damage. None of them could have done any kind of damage. You would have had to bring military-grade weaponry to do any meaningful damage to anything but the plywood, and I don't think they even damaged the plywood seriously. One person broke a window. The idea that it would have been possible for this crowd to destroy that courthouse is absurd, because it's basically a castle.
Well, is either a lie or stupid.
They knocked aggressively, I thought you were talking about.
Someone Oh, that was the next night. That was the next night. Someone just knocked on the door and got arrested. Okay. Yeah.
Because then I would understand.
You could tell they meant business with that knock.
Yeah, yeah, it was an assault knock. All right, let's listen to our friends continue.
And I've said it before, I don't care what your ideologic beliefs are, your political affiliation.
Ideologic.
Violence, we should all be united, is wrong. And I can tell you for one, I'm glad that this president of the United States understands the importance of law and order and that it's a cornerstone of American society. What we saw in Portland last night was criminal, and we stood...
Yeah, it's funny that he says violence is wrong because, again, the police were repeatedly pumping impact munitions blindly into a crowd and dragging people across the ground and beating them with sticks. So I'm interested for this for Mark Morgan's condemnation of the Portland police for that, but I didn't
also
hear it. Yeah,
he says he doesn't care about our, what do you say, ideological?
Ideologic. You're ideological.
Ideologic. You get the gist.
Yeah, yeah, he does. Yeah. He cares. He cares what your ideologic is.
Well, I mean, he immediately invoked the president. So I think it might have a little bit to do with some sort of ideology.
Yeah, I think he might have an ideology.
It's possible.
Mr. Commissioner, the presidents have warned that this element, there are parts of these groups that are terrorists, perhaps, that they're literally trying to do pure harm. This isn't about making a statement. You have some news you can share with us now about the arrest on Friday and the attack on the Hatfield Federal Courthouse. What is that?
Absolutely, Griff. Early this morning, in fact, I just got this situation report a few minutes ago, is that one of the criminals that were actually trying to assault one of the CBP employees while he was being arrested, the report right now is telling us that a pipe bomb, a fused incendiary device, and a machete was actually discovered during that search.
Now, this is really interesting.
Was that
your machete? No, it wasn't. But if there was a machete in the possession of someone there, they were violating no law because it is the possession of unconcealed machetes is completely unregulated in the state of Oregon and completely legal. The pipe bomb thing is real funny because I found the picture that they posted of this. And number one, for whatever reason, they posted the picture of the pipe bomb with a bunch of tissue paper and zip ties, which was a weird call. And also, it's not a pipe bomb. It's very clear. It is a pipe with two bits of like metal plugs, like screwed into either end. I can see how someone might initially think, "Oh, that might be a pipe bomb," but there's no hole drilled in it. There's no fuse. There's no evidence of any explosives at all. And what it actually is, and what it appears to be, I should say, based on my experience going to a whole lot of protests and riots, people make shit like this all the time to break windows. It's a window breaking thing. It is a thing somebody made so that they can fucking crack a window very easily. There's no evidence that it's a pipe bomb.
That's surprising to me that they would report that it's a pipe bomb, though, because Fox News is usually pretty diligent about checking these things. Huh.
And you'll notice the language that the CBP commissioner uses, because he says he after saying it's a pipe bomb, he says, OK, but he goes back and says, based on the report that we're reading right now, because at some point they're going to walk this back because my suspicion is that they will have no evidence of any actual explosives and thus that this was not a pipe bomb. So, you know, you've got to make sure that everyone knows, based on the report I've read, they had a pipe bomb. And then you never have to correct it. They're not going to have him back on Fox News to be like, you know what? It was just a guy who was ready to fucking break some windows because he wanted to loot some Louis Vuitton or whatever. Very frustrating. But I'm interested in their fucking analysis of that pipe bomb with no fuse in it at all. That'll be fun. Anyway, let's continue.
Think about that, Griff. Think about the deadly consequences from these criminal actions.
And no one has died.
Listeners, get out there and see some video. There's a video where a woman is overheard confronting one of the agents there, and she refers to it as, "Hey, I know this game. I'm on a city sidewalk. There's nothing that you can do." And she goes further and says, "Why don't you go back where you came from, white boy?" That's what this is, Griff. It's a game. Okay.
See, I love this. I love this because he immediately says, you know, we need to talk about the deadly consequences of this. And then those consequences are somebody called a cop a white boy while standing on a sidewalk and asserting her right to be on a sidewalk of a city that she lives in. Like, that's the deadly consequences here. Very fun. Love this guy.
It's a deadly game, but serious. This is about law and order. We must be united. Where are the local political leaders, Griff, standing up saying this is unconscionable, this is wrong, and these individuals should cease and desist and be arrested? Where are they? Your officers on the ground.
Now, that's funny because in the city of Portland, our mayor has stood by the police pretty significantly and has made only the most milquetoast kind of complaints. And so did our city commissioner, Joanne Hardesty. She wrote a real mean letter to the police after they beat the piss out of a bunch of people last Tuesday. But that letter she wrote the day after she was like one of the deciding votes to approve the new police budget for the next several months. So
very cool.
Gave up any sort of leverage that she had to the police and then said that they were mean. Because again, local political leaders in Portland are terrified of the police union. And usually terrified to take any action against it. Now, what I will say, if you're trying to look at how popular these protests are, I don't have perfect data for you, but there's a current runoff election for the mayor of Portland between the current mayor, Ted Wheeler, and Sarah Iannarone, who is his like did well enough in the election that there's a runoff in November. She was something like 20 points behind before all this started, and now they are neck and neck. That might suggest that there's actually quite a bit of sympathy in the city of Portland for the people out protesting the police every night. We'll see in November, I suppose.
Quite troubling that a pipe bomb allegedly was found along with the incendiary device and a machete. Mm-hmm. So what will happen now with that individuals and those that you're arresting there?
That individuals.
Well, absolutely, Griffin. That's where you say this really is a whole government approach. So we have United States Marshals, Federal Protective Service there, ICE, HSI sent agents there, and the FBI has committed a lot of resources to making sure that these individuals are arrested and prosecuted to the full extent of the law for the criminals that they are. We are doing disservice to peaceful, lawful protesters when we call these individual protesters. They're not. They're criminal thugs with an agenda.
In the last just 30 seconds to go, Mr. Commissioner, do you see this being now a you'll have to escalate the force that you're already deploying?
Look, we're going to escalate to the use of force that's needed to repel these criminals and apprehend them and prosecute them. But I can tell you, I've been doing this for 25 years, and this president is 100% behind us. And I'm glad that we have an administration that understands the importance of law and order. We're not walking away from our federal facilities like police departments have in some communities. We're staying.
Well, Mr. Commissioner, thanks for being here.
Yeah, so that's
a lot
fun.
Going on there.
Yeah, lots going on there. That guy really had a line to push about how much he likes the president. I'm guessing because, yeah.
I mean, just the coded language also, like, we finally have a president that backs us up here. You know, mm-hmm. we know what they're backing up. Also, criminals, just the words that they use to describe protesters. What are they doing? Okay, I guess you shouldn't technically be firing fireworks at a federal building.
I think it is against the law. I do suspect it's against the law to shoot illegal fireworks at a federal courthouse.
Sure. That I'll give you that.
While street drinking.
That's not everybody that's, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, they've been using that same language for all of this. It's not just that, you know?
Yeah.
But overall, very impressed with their coverage.
Yeah.
I couldn't say that with a straight face.
It's very funny. It's funny, like, the focus on the violence of the protesters when the actual injuries have been pretty one-sided. And largely dealt out by the police. The police, like, every time they can, will post a video of, like, they posted one after July 4th that showed burns on a guy's and on an officer's pants from a firework and another officer who was doused in paint. And they're like, these are just two examples of the kind of violence done to our officers. And it's like, okay, guys.
Showing them the journalist who lost her eye.
Yeah, I mean, that was another city, but they did mace one of our journalists and shove him to the ground, and another journalist who was filming an arrest got knocked down and beaten on the legs with truncheons. Several of us have been shot with impact munitions. I've had my pants burned by a flashbang, which, you know, is I would say, at least comparable to what happened to that other officer's
sure.
pants. No one has poured, I will say this, I did not get covered in paint. That is a type of tremendous violence that is a unique experience of a Portland police officer. So
Andy would know.
Yeah, Andy does. Well, yeah.
He wouldn't know.
It was something else white and creamy. Yeah.
We have to take another ad break.
Speaking of white and creamy.
We get to take another ad break.
Did you say speaking of something white and creamy?
I sure did, Katie.
One pump, one cream. Ad break.
Welcome to the worst year ever. Together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
We're back. Oh my god. I love cream. No, I don't.
You don't?
No, not really. I mean, yeah. I have complicated emotional feelings on the nature of cream.
We'll dig into that in another day.
Yeah. So I'm left like we're in this very strange place in Portland where things seem to have escalated to the high. I can't imagine things escalating further than they went on the 4th without gunfire. Most likely gunfire from federal or even, you know, local police, because I think a lot of them are itching to be able to do that. I have trouble imagining things escalating further. So in terms of how the movement continues here, I can only see it moving laterally, right?
Yeah.
You know, we had, you know, people going after different targets, not confront, you know, going after the Portland Police Association headquarters again. I could also see other tactics being adopted. But in terms of physical confrontation of the police, it doesn't get much more intense than having a fireworks fight with them.
So
I don't know.
Is there I know that we've mentioned this before, and goals kind of evolve and change, but what is it that people specifically want from Portland? Is this the dissolution of the police department? Is it acknowledgement of certain officers there? I'm just curious.
Yeah.
And I know it morphs and changes too, but
I think of the folks I've talked to, most of them, the minimum they wanted was like $50 million taken out of the budget, and they got about half that. More common, people want the Portland Police Association dissolved. They don't want, you know, they do not want the police in Portland to have a union. They want officers who have been involved in questionable shootings to be prosecuted.
It all seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah. They want an end to, and they've won actually an end to a number of the most problematic units in the Portland Police Bureau. So like the gang task force, which is responsible for a lot of shootings, has been dissolved. And the transit police, they're not getting funding, although the funding has just been shifted to the sheriff's department for the transit police, who are responsible for a lot of fucking with the houseless people. They are removing officers from Portland schools, which is a big win.
Great. Yeah.
So I think people want to see more of that. There's more units they'd like to see dissolved. They like to see stuff like, you know, don't just shift the funding over to the sheriff's department for transit police, cut it entirely. I think most people who are out every night at the Justice Center want the Portland Police completely dissolved and replaced with something new. That is probably the single most common view, but at the very minimum, people want to see the police much more defunded, and want to see them no longer sort of immune to the consequences of their violence. Yeah, and there's also a general, I think, desire for charges to be dropped. And not just charges against protesters, but journalists are getting charged. I was just chatting with Corey Elia, who was assaulted by the Portland police early on in all this, was like thrown to the ground and maced in the face for filming them, and sued them as a result, has brought them a civil suit. And a couple of weeks later, he was at a protest outside of the one by the Portland Police Association, and he recognized the officer who, I believe, the one who maced him, and he stated the officer's name on a live stream. And he was arrested very aggressively and is being charged with 2 felony counts of assaulting a police officer, which I can say conclusively is a lie by the Portland Police Bureau. I'll testify in court to that. I watched his arrest. I filmed it. There was no evidence of any kind of aggression from Corey. Now, police often have, you know, like in D.C., if you struggle while handcuffed, you're assaulting a police officer. So we'll see what actually is able to hold up in court. But
They struggled.
They struggled while handcuffed. Violence. They clearly are throwing these charges at Corey, both because, you know, he pissed off a specific officer, but also because they want to chill the free press in Portland. And if you get, even if they're bogus charges, getting felony charges against you completely changes your life while you are under them.
Of course,
you are not innocent until proven guilty. You suffer immediate consequences as a result of having felony charges against you. Yeah, I mean, it had a chilling effect on me because I would see getting felony charges against me as not all that far from a death sentence. Because one of the things that will happen, I have a number of death threats against me. I get them pretty regularly. I carry a firearm and rely on a firearm for self-defense. If I were to be charged with a felony, they would come and take all of my firearms. And not only that, but my name would become, you know, it would be a very public case. The Portland police know where I live, and there are cases of, we just had an officer retire with full pension who had been caught in photographs with a shrine to Adolf Hitler. There's a long documented history of the Portland police collaborating with groups like the Proud Boys and Patriot Prayer in this city, like emails between them. You can read all this. I have no doubt that my address would get out. So that has altered my coverage and where I have gone and physically put myself while trying to cover these protests. And that was the goal. You know, their goal was to scare journalists into not. And they have had now a federal injunction put against them that says they can't arrest journalists or demand that we disperse. So that's good. I'm less worried now as a result of that. And on the 4th, I felt generally pretty safe. But they did target a couple of colleagues of mine, and another journalist, a live streamer, got arrested because there's now this debate between, like, what is a journalist? You know, how many of these, like, citizen reporters really count as journalists? And obviously, the police want as narrow a definition of journalist as possible.
Right.
But mainstream, like the big local outlets and stuff, can't afford to have reporters out in the street every night. So we're at 40 nights now. You know, even the local press that's done the best job of covering this, like the Oregonian and Willamette Weekly, Oregonian and the Mercury, which have both done, I think, pretty good jobs, particularly the Mercury, of covering this. In the streets, like they're not able to send people out every night, and neither is like local news TV stations, because it's just there's too much. So if you're a person who lives here and wants to know what your police are doing, wants to know what's happening in the streets of your city, you're very reliant on these citizen journalists, some of whom have professional credential, like a professional history, and some of whom are very new to this. You're very reliant on all of these people to actually know what's happening. And I think there's a reason we don't have a strict legal definition of what makes a journalist. As long as these people aren't participating in the protests, which I haven't seen any of them do. I haven't seen them carrying a sign or lighting things on fire. They're just filming. And as long as they're doing that, I don't see any reason not to consider them a journalist legally, you know?
Well, yeah, because journalism is different now than it's ever been.
Yeah.
This is how people get news and spread news. And that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, you are. If you are going to show up at a protest as a journalist, there are some behavioral things that I think are incumbent upon you in order to be a professional at this sort of an event. You are not supposed to be, you know, the only actions I will take outside of reporting at these events is to render medical aid, which I think is a general responsibility everybody has if they're able to. But you don't take part in, none of the people shooting fireworks off were journalists. People were just filming. And I think as long as people make that, as long as the people out there filming, these citizen journalists, are being journalists, they should be treated as such under the law. And I think it's something everyone needs to be concerned about, that we have both state and federal law enforcement kind of peeking and pushing it around the edges of the legal protections journalists enjoy to try to scare them as much as possible. That should really concern everybody.
Oh, it sounds really scary to be there in the midst of all this.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's really interesting. You know, it's a lot of PTSD in the streets of Portland, because all of the protesters who have been out regularly have accrued a decent amount of trauma, because it is traumatic being subject to that kind of the kind of fighting that's been happening in the streets. It's traumatic to be subject to that kind of police violence, to watch them throwing people to the ground and beating them with sticks, to have so many fucking flashbangs explode next to your face, to have all that tear gas.
And in a sustained way like this.
Yeah, it fucks you up. And we're all, like, all the journalists, definitely, especially the ones who've been out the most, are, like, dealing with pretty significant trauma. A lot of therapists are going to make a good living off the Portland Press Corps after this. But I am, you know, I'm really proud of the journalists in Portland, because a lot of people who I don't think ever had any sort of ambition or plan to cover conflict have really risen to the occasion in a very difficult situation. You know, Corey Elia's primary beat was like he covered homelessness on like the streets of Portland. He's been, you know, doing a lot of frontline work and is, you know, currently taking a break because of the felony charges against him and because the police stole all of his equipment and aren't giving it back. But he's done incredible work. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealCoreyElia. Tuck Woodstock at T-U-C-K Woodstock has also done, you know, they've done some really incredible reporting on the ground. They're there most nights. Alex Zielinski has done really great work for the Mercury. Garrison, one of the first couple of nights I was out there, my colleague and I meet this like this young man who was clearly very, very new to journalism, period, and you know, had been doing some data journalism, but I think was new to like street work, and you know, was just kind of out because the protests and riots were starting in Portland, and he kind of shadowed my partner and I for a couple of nights. And he's been out in the street almost every night that this has been happening since. He's sucked down an incredible amount of tear gas and is just like, the more I've learned about him, the more impressed I am, because he's like 17 years old and a parkour instructor, and just the most the squirreliest, wiliest report, like street reporter I think I've ever witnessed with my own eyes. Just incredible at getting in, getting amazing shots, and then running like fuck from the cops when it becomes clear that it's time to run like fuck from the cops.
Does he use his parkour skills to get away?
He absolutely does. You should see. He's awesome. He's so good.
It's like doing flips over their heads. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, not quite that, but like over fences and shit. Yeah, you can find him at @hungrybowtie on Twitter. And he puts out some amazing videos. Like again, the first couple of nights he was kind of like hanging around us, and he's just been, like clearly doesn't have anything left to learn, from the likes of me. I've wound up following him a few times lately just because he's gotten so good at this sort of shit. So yeah, Garrison's a great follow. Sergio Olmos, who has been assaulted by the police on a couple of occasions, is a great local reporter, one of those like whenever folks are out for the first time and asking like where they should be at the protest, go find Sergio. You can find him at Mr. Olmos. He's just a wonderful journalist. Yeah, so I mean, I'm leaving out some folks that I'm going to be. And you can find my own stringers, like the folks that I've been working with and who have been doing some independent reporting themselves at 45th Absurdist on Twitter. They put out great videos and put out a really interesting article that I want to talk about right now about the president's recent declaration about statues and shit, protecting American monuments. Executive Order 13933, protecting American monuments, memorial statues, and combating recent criminal violence. We'll have a link to the article they wrote. It's a Medium post they put together. It's a very good breakdown of what this executive order does. But this is essentially Trump's. So clearly this situation on the streets nationwide has kind of gotten away from the president, and this is his attempt to do something about it. And the gist of it is that he's declaring all statues and monuments in the country to basically be federal property. Like regardless, even if it's not a federal... even if it's not. And it's a very illegal order. The statues don't even have to be government property. They're just statues. Any person
but
that,
Robert,
or entity that destroys...
counterpoint, law and order.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really his argument. And like, it's interesting. There's a lot that's fascinating because, like, in the justification for why this crackdown is necessary, he notes, anarchists and left-wing extremists have sought to advance a fringe ideology that paints the United States of America as fundamentally unjust and have sought to impose that ideology on Americans through violence and mob intimidations. And then he goes on to list things that these anarchists and left-wing extremists have done, as including killed and assaulted government officers as well as business owners defending their property. That has not happened. Not a single case.
When? Yeah.
Not a single case of this has happened. Now, some right-wing extremists have absolutely murdered some cops, and some right-wing extremists have driven into crowds, recently killing a person in Seattle. But no left-wing anarchists have murdered cops or business owners during this. But that's one of the justifications for, like, why federal agencies not. So it's not only that, like, federal law enforcement and is going to, like, go after anyone who fucks up any kind of monument. But Trump announces in this that if city and state governments don't protect public monuments, memorials, and statues from destruction and vandalism, the federal government will withhold federal support from state and local law enforcement agencies. So they're threatening state and local governments with pulling federal dollars away from law enforcement if those governments don't protect not just actual, like, monuments that are government property of some sort, but just statues in general. Yeah, so that's a problem, I would say. I'm not in love with this. But it's also, like, I think the president kind of knows at this point, the court battle over whether or not this is even legal won't be settled before the election, and it might
win. No, and it doesn't matter. Yeah. He can just say something. He will just say it, and it doesn't matter if there's truth to it or if anything he says has merit. It's just something he gets to say, and people believe.
Yeah, maybe presidents shouldn't be able to do executive orders.
Maybe. Maybe not. I believe he railed against executive orders when the president was Obama. I believe.
Yeah.
I believe I know that for a fact. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, when there's, like, a president you like, what they do with their power is good. When there's a president you don't like, it's bad. But presidents are still good, like, that we have them. Is that what we're landing on? Like, yeah, maybe we should just not get rid of, like, not have presidents, it seems. Like,
maybe. Yeah, that I would be okay with that. Or statues, also. Let's get rid of them, too.
Yeah. Yeah. No statues of anything, ever.
So, I don't know,
no art,
y'all.
Either.
This is where we are. This is where I am. There's so much I want to say, and part of why it's kind of hard for me to put this together, I'm trying to put together an article on it, and writing is really... I find that after one of these nights when it's like a serious... When it goes out like this, because it'll usually be sometimes 6-7 straight hours of violence. It's like a good 48 to 72 hours before it's like I can actually write again.
Of course.
I can put
words together.
You have to
process that too.
And not just write about police violence, but like write about anything. It's physically difficult to like focus my brain, which is part of why I'm not out as often, is because I have jobs to do and they require me being able to write.
You've mentioned this a couple times, but the toll on mental health and physical well-being with this kind of extended trauma is very real, and it makes sense that you have a hard time sitting down to write and work on anything. I mean, I think people are experiencing that anyway right now, and this is amplifies that.
Yeah, and it's... It's not normally a problem for me. For an idea of just like the severity of this, again, I've covered real fucking wars.
Yeah.
and this is fucking me up. And it's not as bad, obviously. No one has died. So clearly it is not as bad. But in terms of the physical shock to the system, I'm interested in what's actually happening to our brains from the sheer repeated exposure to things like flashbangs that are not meant to be fired into groups of people at close range. Because one thing they found from like soldiers in Iraq and stuff, just from like shooting the heavier weaponry, rockets and stuff, if you do that enough, it does have it it causes some like CTE like symptoms. And obviously, again, nothing that we're being exposed to is quite that powerful, but there's also so much of it. I wouldn't be surprised if there is. I don't know what's happening to us, basically. And like with all of these munitions, even the smoke that they like the non-tear gas smoke is carcinogenic, and you're breathing clouds of it. Like there's so much shit that is being pumped into crowds that we don't have any data on the long-term effects of.
I mean, also the tear gas, I don't know what the studies are into it, but it's looking like
it's not great for you.
Well, but tear gas specifically on women in menstruation, and what it does to your body, and affects your menstruation, or if somebody happens to be with child and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of research that still needs to be done on how this shit is affecting people.
Before you shoot it on people?
Yeah, maybe before you shoot it on people. I don't know. I'm a little bit of firing things into crowds of people that we don't know how will affect those crowds of people.
Also, especially crowds crowds at their homes, basically. Like, this is their neighborhood, this is their community.
Oh, yeah.
Just you talking about, like, you've been in war zones and stuff like that. That was, there's something to be said about, like, the psychological effect something like that has on, I'm going here to cover this versus I'm going down the street from my home to cover this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I'm almost at a loss just because like it's got, you know, one of the things that's fucked it up is that it's hard to talk about anything else. It's hard to maintain my relationships. It's hard to like be a person. And like everyone I know who's covering this is kind of dealing with that same problem. And like, I also feel kind of bad about focusing on the journalists because this is obviously, I have great sympathy for the protesters and they're all dealing with, in some ways, an even worse version of this because they don't have even the minimal protections the press enjoy. But it's just, that's the crew I know the best, right? Like part of, you know, partly for their own protection, I don't spend a huge amount of time talking to individual protesters at these events because I don't know who the fuck's monitoring my shit and I don't want to like expose people to stuff. But I talk to all the journalists a lot. So, you know, they're the ones that I have the most detailed conversations about mental health with. And like, we're all fucked up at the moment. It's not great.
Well, we appreciate you and the work you're doing. And are concerned for you, but know you are doing important stuff. But yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Is that it for us today?
I think that's it for us today.
It can be.
Thank you again, Robert, for doing all of this.
Yeah. What we're gonna have in the notes for this episode, we'll have links to all of the other Portland journalists that I recommend following.
Great.
If you want to keep up on this, and they also all have donation cash apps and whatnot. You know, most of them are working independently, and could use your money. If you have extra to spare, not me, but them, we'll include all of their links. And also we will include a link to that article that my stringers wrote about Trump's executive order.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Okay. Check out all of those things he just mentioned. Also, you can find us online at Worst Year Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And you'll see us there, too. Our handles. We don't need to push that. But, you know, be cool, guys. Be cool.
Be cool. And if you need to chill out and relax a little bit, maybe Google a picture of Jair Bolsonaro clearly dying. It's so good.
You might need to put some dates in there too. Because every
the sickest
couple of weeks,
man in the world.
It's unbelievable.
I could have sworn he already had coronavirus.
On the brink of death.
Oh, he's on his like third or fourth case of the Rona so far.
Just
he's
like completely depleted. Like he looked like a balloon that has been let out. Like it's so unbelievable.
Oh man, yeah, and enjoy that.
We'll see you next week, guys. Everything's so dumb, and it's gonna get dumber. Great. I tried. Yes. Daniel.
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.